execution traces, or how to pack data for polynomials. Welcome back. By now you know polynomials are a place to store data, and you know roots of Unity make evaluating them fast. So here is the question. Before the polynomial checks anything, where does the data even come from? That is what the execution trace is. Let me start with code you have written 100 times, a function that takes an age and returns true if it is at least 18 and at most 90. The CPU runs it, checks the condition, hands you true or false instantly, and you trust the machine. And this is not a toy. Poland already has a digital ID on the phone, the e-Dowod, and it could generate exactly this kind of proof. You walk into a hotel, they need to know you are an adult, and instead of handing over your birth date, you hand over a proof that just says yes, over 18, nothing else. The circuit behind that is a range check, the same one we are building here. Now here is the twist. You want to prove to someone that the function returned true for your specific age, without showing them the age. The verifier cannot just run your code on your private input. They do not have it. All they get is a proof, a tiny piece of data, and they check it mathematically. And to produce that proof, you first need an execution trace. So, what is a trace? It is just a table. Each row holds a value that mattered during the computation, and you fill it in while you run the program before any proving happens. Take the age check for 45. The two conditions, at least 18 and at most 90, get rewritten as subtractions, x minus 18 and 90 minus x. For 45, that is 27 and 45. So the trace, for now, holds three things. The age itself, x minus 18, and 90 minus x. That is it. You are writing down every intermediate value, so a polynomial can encode them later. The polynomial does not run your logic, it just stores this table, and the constraints check that the numbers add up, or b. But wait, we rewrote the comparisons as subtractions, and now we still have to check that those results are not negative, which feels like the exact same problem we started with. But ZK proofs live in a finite field, where every number sits between 0 and p minus 1, and the arithmetic wraps around. There is no greater than, no less than. So saying x minus 18 is at least 0 is meaningless, because if x is 5, then 5 minus 18 does not give you minus 13. It wraps around to a big positive-looking number. Both a valid result and an invalid one look non-negative. The field cannot tell them apart by sign. So rewriting the comparison as a subtraction looks completely pointless. Bear with me. The fix is bit decomposition. You take the result of the subtraction and break it into bits. If it fits in, say, 8 bits, you know it is genuinely small, somewhere from 0 to 255. If it does not fit, it is one of those giant wrapped-around numbers and the check fails. One check is not enough, though. You need two. One says x minus 18 fits in 8 bits, so x is at least 18. The other says 90 minus x fits in 8 bits, so x is at most 90. Each one alone is too loose. The lower check on its own would happily accept ages way above 90. The upper check on its own would accept nonsense below 18. Together, they pin x to the range 18 to 90. Try 91, 1 over the top. The lower check passes. 91 minus 18 is 73, small. But the upper check, 90 minus 91, wraps into a huge number that does not fit in 8 bits, so it fails. Try 17, one under the bottom, and it is the mirror image, upper passes, lower fails. And why is this a real constraint and not just a flag you could fake? Because to prove an 8-bit decomposition, the prover has to actually hand over 8 bits, each one genuinely 0 or 1, that add back up to the original value when you weight them by powers of 2. The biggest number you can build out of 8 bits is 255. If the value is 256 or more, there is simply no combination of zeros and ones that reaches it. So this gives you a real non-negative check that works inside a finite field, written as a polynomial. There is one more piece needed, a constraint that forces each bit to actually be 0 or 1, and not some random field element. But that is a constraints post problem. So the full trace for the age check on 45 ends up as three columns. One column carries the age itself. One carries X minus 18 with its 8 bits underneath. And one carries 90 minus X with its 8 bits. The age column is there for a reason. Without it, there is no way to prove that the lower column really equals X minus 18 and not just some convenient number. You never wrote an if statement. You wrote down everything that had to be true for the if to pass, for one specific secret value of X. In ArcWorks, we build all of this by hand, with just field arithmetic. Every cell in the table is a field element. Now, the thing people get wrong. They think proving is the same as executing. It is not. They are two separate steps. First, the prover runs the program on the real inputs and records every intermediate value into the table, the trace. At that point, the prover knows everything, every input, every step, every output. Then, separately, the prover takes that finished table and turns it into a proof. The constraints do not walk through the trace row by row, discovering what comes next. The whole trace is already sitting there. They just check that all the numbers are consistent. And that separation is the whole point. It is what lets the verifier confirm the computation was correct without ever rerunning it. Next up, post 4, turning this table into actual polynomials with the FFT and the NTT, and doing some genuinely cool stuff with it. If you want to talk it through with other Rust devs learning ZK, the Discord link is on rustarians.com/DC. Before you go, a word from this post's sponsor, which is me. If you want me to walk you through this on real Rust code, I do one-on-one mentoring. It's at rustarians.com/training. All right, that's the ad. See you in the next one.